Amen. Well, just a couple of verses to begin with this morning. And the first is John chapter 3 and verse 16. I'm sure we all know this verse very, very well. But it's the words of Jesus. And he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15, it simply says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Let's just pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord God, we thank you for the truth that it reveals to us. Lord, we thank you for these two short verses that speak absolute volumes to us about your incredible love and grace. Lord, your love that is so great that you sent your one and only Son into this world for men and women and boys and girls like us. That, Lord God, that through believing on him, through putting our trust in him, we might not perish but have everlasting life. And Lord, we pray that as we consider your word together, consider the message of Christmas together this morning, that, Lord God, you would just bless us and speak to us, each and every one of us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so boys and girls, yeah, no Sunday school this morning, but I hope you're not going to be disappointed, and I hope you're going to listen. And I'm not bothered if children wander around. I don't care if the adults wander around. As long as we're kind of attentive to God's word, that's the main thing. So we're not going to be distracted if the little ones are up and about, are we? But here's a question to begin with. There used to be this program came on telly. I don't know if anybody ever used to watch it. I think it was called Family Fortunes. And they used to say, we asked 100 people and a certain question, and the people who went forward, I think they had to kind of give an answer that coincided with that anyway. But so here's a question. Give me, anybody, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, 10 things people associate with Christmas. Okay? 10 things people associate with Christmas. Get a sweet if you get one. Come on, somebody. Sorry?
Presents.
Yes, top of the list. Go on, it's a Marie. Maria? Christmas dinner, I'm looking forward to mine, are you?
Christmas trees.
Christmas trees. Yeah? Christmas trees.
Christmas.
Santa. Is that number four now? Are we up to four? Ruby, what was that, Ruby? Reindeers. Yeah? Reindeers.
Ezra said snow.
Christmas puddings. Ezra said snow. Let's get Ezra on. I'm sorry, we've had all the best ones out of EMS. So we've got what's left, Jamie. Reindeers, we've had that. We need another. Babies. Father Christmas. Well, I'm glad that we've got Santa over there. So you have one, Joe. Carols. We've just sung some, haven't we? I've lost count now. I don't know where anyone's at. Well, which you're having, Marge? You're
birth of Jesus.
Oh, yes. Yes?
Donkey.
Well, that'll do. Donkey. We're not having that, because last week you even told us there were no donkey in it, which I'm not so sure about myself, but there we are. Okay, well, these are the things that people associate with Christmas, and so much more besides, isn't it? I mean, we're going to go downtown this afternoon. I'm sure there'll be loads of stuff, from lights to tinsel to just about everything else. And we've had some good answers there, but the first answer that came out was gifts, presents. So we kind of associate that with Christmas, don't we? And I don't know, but maybe this Christmas, maybe you're going to receive a gift, a present off somebody. Maybe, hopefully, we all might receive a gift. Maybe you're going to give somebody a gift. Maybe you're going to give a present to somebody this Christmas. Sometime, I was thinking about presents, though, and sometimes, hey, I've got a co-worker here this morning, haven't I? I've got an apprentice. Don't nick me water, though. Don't nick me water. I'm struggling a bit. Yeah, sometimes I heard to kind of choose a present for somebody, isn't it? Well, it's not hard to choose one for me. I'm easy to buy for. But sometimes it can be hard. You know, what exactly do you get people? I mean, do you buy them, like, a practical present? Like, you could get somebody a practical present, couldn't you?
Yes.
But, like, some people... Megan thinks she's getting a clue here as to what she's got off us like. But you could give somebody a practical present, but then you sort of think to yourself, but they might think it's a bit dull. They might think it's a bit boring. Or do you get them something just because it's nice? Something, you know, something that might not be practical, but it's just, you think they might like it. But then you start thinking, what if they don't like my present? What if they don't think it's nice? I've got some presents here that I got from work this year. Do you want me to help me undo this, Ezra? It doesn't mean the ewers. No, maybe not, okay. Okay, so don't worry about it, ladies and gentlemen. I've already undone this one, so I know what's in it. There's nothing risque in it or anything like that. But these are things that I got from work. So let's judge these. Actually, I got more than this, but this is some of them. It's a lucky boy this year. Really, Christmas. So what have we got here? Okay, you've got to judge whether these are practical or just bought because they're nice. Okay, so a new wallet. Is that practical or nice? Practical. Depends whether you've got any money or not, doesn't it, really? You know, in my case, I'm not really sure where that one fits. Okay. I got a small bottle of Boss scent. Is that practical or is that nice?
Nice.
So it's practical as well in your case, Ian, because you smell. you gotta have something to kind of. Yeah. So that's nice. That's a present that's just nice. As I say, in my case, practical as well. But T-shirt, practical or nice? Depends what's on front of it, doesn't it? Really. Practical and nice. Merge says that one. Over there, hat and gloves, practical. Yeah, the hat, keep your yarrows warm, as they say in Boughton, the hat, you know. So you know, presents, you can either get them something practical, or you can get them something nice. And then I suppose some people, if they can't make their mind up whether they're going to get a practical present or it's all right. Don't worry about it. I'm fine with it. So, whether it's practical or not, some people, if you can't make their mind up, they say, "Oh well, maybe I'll just give them money. Maybe just give them money." But even that's not without its problems, because then you've got to decide how much you're going to give them. Do you give them the tenner? Do you give them a tenner, or do you kind of really push the boat out and give them 11? You know, what do you do? You know, because you may be thinking, like, well, if I only give them a tenner, or if I only give them a one, they might not think I love them all that much. So when you're going to give somebody money, it kind of it's sort of, how much do you give? So even that's not kind of without its problems. So buying presents and gifts for people isn't necessarily as easy as it seems. But what about receiving gifts? Is that easy? Oh, Merge says no. Well, again, it depends what they give you. If they give you something really nice, you know, maybe sort of something really useful, like a new plectrum or something like that. You know, if you get something like that, you know, the smile's all over your face, isn't it? And you just say, thank you. And they know that you're really grateful for the new plectrum or whatever it is they've given you. But what if it's something you didn't really want? Ever had a present you didn't really want? There's at least one yep coming out there. So what if it's something you really didn't want? What if it's like a practical, boring, a new hammer, you know, something like that? What if it's like something you didn't really want? You know, I mean, what do you say? What do you say then? And more importantly, what do you do with the unwanted present? Maybe you... What do you do, Heather?
Take it to the
Take it to charity shop, Heather says. Somebody else will benefit. Or put it in a cupboard or give it somebody else, maybe. I don't know. I remember we knew somebody years and years ago, and somebody gave them some Brut 33 splash it all over aftershave, and he gave it them following year. Like. So what do you do with the unwanted present? Well, maybe you give it somebody else. Well, I asked earlier on 10 things people associate with Christmas. And the first on the list was gifts. And funnily enough, the last was Jesus. See, we can see you're a well-educated bunch here, you know. And I guess if we went downtown and asked people what they associate with Christmas, actually Jesus might not be included in what some people say, to be honest. But that's sad. Because you see, Christmas, as I said earlier, is the time of the year when traditionally the church, don't get me wrong, I thank God for Jesus every day of my life. But Christmas is the time traditionally when the church has celebrated the birth of Jesus. And Jesus, you see, is God's gift to us. Jesus is God's gift to us. There's a verse in that hymn we just sang, that carol we just sang, and it says this. It's verse 3. It says, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessing of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. Jesus is that wondrous gift. Of course, that begs the question, doesn't it? Why? Why did God give us the gift of his son? Why did God send his son into this world? Why did God give us the gift of Jesus? Well, was it because he's nice and God hoped that people would like him? Because he is more than nice. He's wonderful. He's perfect. He's good. He's gentle. He's kind. He's loving. He's forgiving. He's all those things. He's the greatest person who ever lived. So it is true. But you know, the thing is, and the amazing thing is, that God knew when he gave his son Jesus to us, to the people of this world as a gift, he knew that not everyone would want him. Not everybody would love him. Not everybody would actually receive him. I mean, for example, think of those birth narratives that we read earlier from Matthew's Gospel and Luke's Gospel. It's true, there were people like those shepherds. And when the shepherds were told that the Saviour, Jesus, had been born in Bethlehem, what did they do? Immediately, they went and sought him out for themselves. And significantly, it says they went away praising and glorifying God. In other words, in their hearts, they were thankful to God for his unspeakable gift. But you also know that there were other people like that man, Herod. And Herod did not want the Saviour King, Jesus. He did not want to believe on him or to receive him for himself. And actually, Herod didn't want anybody else to either. He didn't want anyone else to know and to believe and to follow the one who was born to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He didn't want that. And so what Herod sought to do was to destroy him, to get rid of him, to kill him. That was Herod's aim. Why? Why did he do that? He did that because Herod was happy as he was. He was happy with what he had. I'm not sure happy is the word, but that's what he had. That was what he wanted. He wanted to be king, and he didn't want anybody else, certainly not this child Jesus, to be lord and king over him, telling him what to do. Herod was busy doing what he wanted to do, and he had no time for God, no thought for what happens when this life is over. He had no understanding whatsoever of what his greatest need really was. And you see, ladies and gentlemen and boys and girls, Herod's greatest need, the shepherd's greatest need, our greatest need, is to have our sins forgiven, to have our lives made anew, so that we can have peace with God, and so that we can live our lives and all eternity as God's friends. I put it to you, that's our greatest need. And that's why God sent Jesus. That's why God gave us his indescribable gift, the gift of his Son. Because, see, only through Jesus can our sins be forgiven. Only through trusting Jesus can our lives be made anew, can we become what God always intended us to be. It's only through him, through Jesus Christ, that we can have peace with God and that we can live our lives in fellowship with God and we can actually know with absolute certainty that one day we're going to be with him in heaven for all eternity, having an existence that is beyond anything we could even imagine at this point in time. Did you notice when I read those birth narratives earlier, those shepherds, they heard about Jesus' birth from an angel. But it was the fact that they went and found Jesus in the place the angel told them of that shows they believed. You see, the angel told them what was true. But if they just sat down after the angel had gone and said, well, that was very interesting, wasn't it, friends? You know, what was that all about? You know, and they just sat there, then for the rest of their life, they may well have remembered the night when the hills were filled with light and these angelic beings. But if they never followed through, what that shows is they never believed. The fact that they followed the instructions they were given through the word the angel brought shows that they believed. The fact that they glorified and praised God shows that they received God's gift for themselves, doesn't it? So what about us, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls? What about us? Who are we most like? The shepherds? Who followed God's word? Who received God's gift and gave thanks? Or are we more like Herod? Who, because he was more interested in living his life his way, rejected God's gift? Who are we most like? Now you might be thinking, I don't want to be likened to Herod. He killed all those baby boys. That's not the point. What he did was sinful, obviously, in killing those children. But that sin actually was the result of the sin of rejecting Jesus in the first place. That's why that happened. So who are we most like? Shepherds or Herod? See, the fact that Jesus was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago is actually a fact of history. Some people want to tell us it's a story. They're wrong. There's enough historical evidence outside of the Bible, let alone what's inside of the Bible. The fact that he was born in Bethlehem just over 2,000 years ago is a fact. The fact that God gave his only begotten Son, his indescribably wonderful gift, is proof positive that God loved us. Loves us. The question is, what is our response to that? It's certain that we all need Jesus. We might be as rich as King Herod or as poor as the shepherds. Makes no difference. We all still need Jesus. And certainly, when we look at Jesus, when we look at his life, when we look at the way he lived, when we look at the things that he did and the things that he said, it's all beautiful. It's all wonderful. And you would have to be stupid not to recognize that. But the question is, have we received him for ourselves? Have we accepted? Will we accept God's gift of Jesus? Ask him into our heart to be our saviour and our king. It tells us another verse of that hymn that we sang, it says, "O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel." If you've never made that your prayer, how about doing so this Christmas? We all need Jesus. We all need him as our Saviour. We all need to have our sins forgiven. We all need peace with God. And it's only through him that we can have that peace. If you never have, will you pray, "O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to me, I pray. Cast out my sin and enter in. Be born in me today. Come to me, abide with me, my Lord Emmanuel." Finish with a verse from chapter 1 of John's Gospel. It says, "As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." It's as many as receive him. To them who believe on his name, they become the children of God. They become the friends of God. They become saved. They become born again. No one else. It's as exclusive as that. And yet God loved the whole world. It struck me when I was reading these birth narratives again, you know. Herod rejected Christ. God knew that he would reject him. But did you notice, God even arranged for somebody to knock on Herod's door and tell him? That's the love and grace of God. Let's just pray, shall we? Gracious Father, Lord, we thank you for your incredible love towards us. Lord, I want to thank you that no matter how many nice things, Lord God, I may receive, we may receive this Christmas, Lord God, given from hearts that of people who love us and care for us and want us to have good and nice things. Lord God, really, lovely those things, though those things are, nothing compares with the priceless gift of your Son. Nothing compares with the indescribable, unspeakable gift to us of the Lord Jesus Christ. In him, Lord God, we lack no good thing. If we have Christ, we have everything we need. Lord God, it makes no difference whether we're penniless or whether we're kings, rich as kings. Lord God, without Christ, our lives, Lord God, are empty and meaningless. And Lord, we're going to a Christless eternity anyway. But if we have Christ, we have life in all its fullness. And there's an eternity set before us. That Lord God is full of wonder and glory, the likes of which our minds have never fully comprehended, nor will they until we're there. And so, Lord God, we thank you that all that is possible only through Jesus and because you give us your precious gift. Lord God, help us this afternoon, Lord God, those of us who go downtown. Lord God, we so want to reach our community with the message of God's love, with the message of the gospel. We so want people to see beyond the tinsel. Lord, not that we've anything against tinsel. We want people to see the gift of God for themselves. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll open a door for us, for the gospel this afternoon, that hearts and lives might be reached. Lord, we just give you thanks again this morning for your unspeakable gift. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.